Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was talking to a friend last week, and somebody came up to her after church, and she's going, "I don't know why we're reading the Old Testament. These people are not very nice in it. What are we going to learn from this Jacob guy, for example?" So I don't know about you, but I can have mixed feelings about. That's fine. Thank you. I kind of mixed feelings about Jacob today. You know this German word Schadenfreude? You ever hear of that? Taking delight in someone else's suffering. You kind of look at, thank you. Thank you very much. So on the one hand, you look at Jacob, and he has been, as we've been listening to the last few weeks, Jacob is the great manipulator and kind of almost a con man in a way. He's manipulated his brother out of his blessing and the promise that's being passed on from Abraham generation to generation. He's done it twice. First time, the bowl of stew. Second time, when he disguises himself as his brother Esau. Not very nice. And then today, he's this great schemer and manipulator, and today he has met his match in his father-in-law slash uncle. It was the ancient Near East, Laban, who, as you heard, Jacob thought he was marrying one sister and then ended up marrying another, and then it all got very complicated. But in the end, what you see is that the schemer has been out-schemed. Yeah. He's thought he was pretty good at maneuvering people, but it turns out that his uncle is even better at it than he is. And so here he is, he's painted into a corner. And on the one hand, you kind of go, well, a little bit of delight in seeing him, you know, experience a little bit of karma, you know, experiencing the consequences of his actions, so to speak. You know, you thought you could manipulate people. Guess what it's like to be manipulated? Here you are today. Ta-da, this was like. On the other hand, you got to feel a little bit sorry for him in a way. Because, you know, all of us, none of us is perfect. Well, none of us is Jacob, thankfully. But none of us is perfect. But, you know, we all have character flaws. And we all have to face the consequences of our actions sometimes. And maybe we drive ourselves into our own cul-de-sacs, and you kind of go, yeah, you kind of feel bad for this guy a little bit. And maybe it would be satisfying. Maybe it would, back to being satisfying, maybe it would be kind of satisfying in a way when you're reading this, listening to it. Maybe a little satisfying, except for a couple of things. And that is, for one thing, what about Rachel and Leah? They're kind of pawns in this whole thing, and what about them? It's not satisfying to see this happen to them, and we'll see what happens to them later as the story goes along. Secondly, this is not very satisfying because you're going, how is this story going to end anyway? Because it looked like this guy has just painted himself into a corner that he's never going to get out of. And number three, the other reason it's not very satisfying is because the question is, well, what about us? Because the whole premise of this story, beginning with Abraham and Sarah to Isaac and Rebekah to Jacob and Rachel and Leah, as it turns out, is that this family has been given a blessing and a promise. And the promise is this: I will bless you, and you will be a blessing, as I was saying to the kids. And what that means is, back in Genesis 3, if you'll remember, the world kind of took a wrong turn, and ever since then, things have been going badly. The world is full of violence and deception and cruelty. Well, it's good things, the world is good, but all these things have kind of taken a twisted turn. And so God has a plan, and the plan is he's going to choose this one family that he's going to hand a promise onto, that they will be, that he will bless them, and that they will be a blessing to the nations, not just to their own group, eventually to the entire world. And so we're going, well, yeah, how's this story going to end, and how are we going to end up being blessed as a result of that? It seems like from generation to generation, starting with Abraham and Sarah, if you read that story, then Isaac and Rebekah, and on here to Jacob and Leah and Rachel, that this promise that I will bless you and you will be a blessing, this promise God has handed on, is in constant jeopardy as it's handed on from generation to generation. And why is it in constant jeopardy? Because of the people he's handing it on to, right? To pass it along. And why does he pass it along to people like this? People like Jacob, who today, for example, has just maneuvered himself into a cul-de-sac. Why does he hand it on to people like that? Well, that's what people are like. It's all exactly. This is what he has to work with, right? This is what he has to work with. He's got human beings to work with. So if it ended here, right? If we ended today, that would be what we call a tragedy. You know, whether it's King Lear or Breaking Bad, you can see somebody's character flaws end up driving them into a corner, and they end up inevitably facing the consequences of their own actions, right? So, what is the lesson for us here today from this reading? That we will face the consequences of our own actions. Well, I could stay at home and know that because I'm a grown-up. And I know that happens. We all know that happens. Or, here's another option, the lesson we could take from this. If you're going to be manipulative, just be a lot better at it. You know, be the smartest guy in the room. That could be another hypothetical lesson to take from today. Or it could be this. The promise that is handed on from generation to generation to this very unlikely group of people, and you're thinking, well, Abraham and Sarah, they're pretty good. Go back and read their story. There's a kind of few devious things that are going on there right from the beginning. The promise that is handed on from generation to generation is not this. In every day, in every way, you will get better and better. And with just more education and, getting rid of the cobwebs of history, you know, people will just improve. You know, we're just going to improve, and therefore we should have a sense of optimism about the future. Well, that's clearly not the case. So what if it's not optimism, if it's not learning to be more manipulative, if it's not giving up and realizing life is a tragedy, what is the lesson, the story, the Word of God is trying to tell us today? So what is this promise? It's none of these things. The promise is a word that God has spoken to these people, to this family, from completely outside of themselves. That they forget over and over again, or don't understand, as in Jacob, clearly do not understand, until he does, but that God keeps reminding them of. Over and over and over again, God reminds them of this. I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing. This is the promise I am handing on to you. So the time when these stories, you know, if you want to talk about history and this kind of thing, the time when these stories of Jacob, for example, became really important, we know through studying history, became really important to the people of God were during the time of exile. That is when Israel was invaded, the temple was destroyed, and the people were taken away to live in a strange country, in Babylon. They were utterly defeated and had completely were facing the consequences of their own actions. And that's the time when they most clearly remembered this story. It's not about tragedy. It's not about us outwitting anybody. It's not about the fact that everything's going to improve inevitably. It's that God has given us a promise and a mission. I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing to all nations, which is quite the thing to hear when your whole country has been destroyed and you're living in exile. I will make you a blessing, and I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing to the entire world. So what is the message to us? Well, that God has spoken a word to us. And the word that he's spoken to us is this: Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, I have chosen to bless you, and I will make you a blessing to all nations, to everyone. Just like I was talking to the kids today, even in small ways, God will bless us and make us a blessing. Who are we to receive this? Well, we are Abraham and Sarah's, and we are Isaac and Rebecca's, and we are Jacob and Leah's and Rachel's, and on and on and on. We are imperfect people. And why do we come here every week? Not to be told to be more clever, not to be faced with the tragedy of life, not to be told that things aren't as bad, aren't really bad, and people are perfectible. The reason we come every week is to be reminded week by week that God has made a promise to us, that he will bless us and he will make us a blessing. More than that, as St. Paul says in Romans, which we're reading today, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds. Not just that we will be blessed, that we are blessed, and each week we come to be reminded and to be transformed by receiving the body and blood of Christ. So, the story continues. Next week we'll get back to Jacob. We'll continue to his adventures. We want to keep on reading, right? We're going, how is he going to get out of this situation? In the meantime, we can remember this. This imperfect human being was given a promise to carry. And so are we. Again, that God wishes to bless us as imperfect as we are and to use us to be a blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.